Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the show. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about some news or some information. And as you guys know, I'm always keeping an eye out for all my listeners. And I really want to appreciate you guys for coming back to the show on a regular basis, as well as our clients. And for anybody new here, I really hope that you get a lot out of the show. And I hope you will reach out, go to idealinvestorshow.com, find the button to book a call and get in touch, because I really love to talk to you about real estate investing and how I can help you. And so, again, for the new folks, I want to also point out that, you know, there's so much information about residential real estate investing and other stuff that's related to it that I couldn't find all of it and report all of it to you. But when something comes across my desk or my email or stuff like that, that I find interesting or have an opinion about, then I try to weave it into our shows here. So here's something that I just received, and that is from a pretty famous person in real estate investing and in podcasting. His name is Joe Fairless, so if you want to check it out. And he is actually writing or reporting about what he has heard regarding Boomtown. And he said it's basically probably one of America's least likely boom towns. So let me tell you what he wrote, and then after that, I want to give you a little bit of my opinion, how I think this may or may not actually come quite the way true as he is describing it. So here is what Joe says. Nearly a decade since declaring bankruptcy, Detroit is now making headlines for its revitalization. After decades of decline, Detroit's home prices have surged 40% since 2020 and saw the steepest rise among major U.S. metropolitan areas last fall. Not to mention the NFL draft kicks off in the city today, which is basically end of April, and there are other undeniable indicators of its resurgence. So let's take a look at the factors that have helped Detroit reverse its real estate doom loop that it was definitely in. And when he said, by the way, that the city was bankrupt, they literally, as if they were a company, they declared bankruptcy as a city. And you may also remember, you know, like they are the home of some of what's called the big three automakers in the United States, which also had gone bankrupt, which is part of the reason the city went bankrupt. And the Obama administration gave them a huge amount of money to basically get out of that bankruptcy. So here's what Joe keeps saying about things that go on there. Large-scale investments from key players. Detroit native and billionaire Dan Gilbert, co-founder of Rocket Mortgage, is constructing the city's second tallest skyscraper, topping 681 feet. Inspired by Gilbert, others are investing heavily in downtown real estate. Ford, for example, is spending over $900 million in redevelopment Michigan Central and surrounding areas, with part of the property already housing more than 90 startups. Converting empty buildings to mixed use, Detroit's abundance of century-old architecturally beautiful yet empty buildings presented a unique opportunity for apartment conversions. Gilbert's real estate venture Bedrock Detroit has recently taken on the challenge of completing conversions like the $400 million transformation of a 38-story book tower into a mixed-use space. Then there is the Big Bang approach. Gilbert's companies acquired over 130 properties downtown, investing billions. He refers to this real estate development strategy as the Big Bang approach. Recognizing that downtown required apartments, retail, and modern office space simultaneously, low rents have also pushed developers to diversify with casinos, sport venues, and theaters. Detroit's bankruptcy and reports of its decline prompted the city and the state to offer generous tax incentives to attract developers. Although often debated, these tax breaks are crucial in Detroit because low rental rates make projects financially unattainable without them. The popular Michigan Central project, for example, is expected to receive over $200 million in tax incentives. Sure, Detroit has social challenges that will take a lifetime to change, but you can't address those challenges without the resources to confront them, one commenter said. And that is why this redevelopment has enabled the city to become fiscally profitable and able to invest in itself and in its institution. So that concludes the part that Joe shared, and he had way more other stuff, but not about Detroit. So I read this and I was thinking, okay, what is my opinion about him? He spoke about the 90 startups that are already there, and they're probably more. They're probably several hundred. But you have to ask yourself, what are they actually doing? What are they start-upping into? And I wouldn't be surprised when quite a few of them are actually trying to support anything and everything related to the automotive industry. Now, the big three are still in Detroit, especially for their headquarters. So there's still a very strong dependency on the automotive industry. And when you're looking at it a little bit more broadly, you will find that these big traditional auto companies are really, really struggling to modernize themselves, basically operating a little bit like government agencies. So I really hope, to put an optimistic spin on it, that all these good signs, these little shoots of greenery that have come up now, you know, in an analogy to spring, that they will actually grow into sustainable plants. My concern, why I'm not so sure, and I personally have not, even though I've been offered many times, been brave enough to invest in Detroit, and it might be a mistake in hindsight, but I'm really wondering what happens if these big employers, these big car companies go bust again. And you might say, why would they go bust again? And I think one of the things that they have been waiting way too long, similar to a lot of the known German car manufacturers like Audi and Mercedes and BMW and so forth, they waited way too long to understand that the next generation of transportation will be electric. And so if they don't really figure this out, and pretty soon, I would say within the next 3 to 5 years, then all this great investment might not really generate profits, because making the investment is one thing. It's kind of like you're putting up a store with lots and lots of beautiful items that people could buy, but you still depend on people to come in and buy. And for people to be able to buy something, they need to make income. And the biggest income generators are the automotive industries. It's not just the car makers, it's all the other support organizations as well. And you have probably heard that the unions got crazy high rises in wages. So these companies are not just late to the electric game, they're also really struggling because their labor cost is really, really high in comparison to Mexico and China and Japan and so forth. So we'll see where this is going. But for anybody who sees this, hears this and says, oh, I saw an article about Boomtown USA, the new Boomtown is Detroit, I would say be cautious, because it's not clear yet if they're really out of the woods or not. And if they are, I would applaud it. I think it's great if somebody can basically come and rise out of the ashes. But I'm not so sure that we have enough signs that it's really happening. So that's it for today. I hope this was informative today, gives you a little bit of a perspective. And obviously, nobody is obligated to take my opinion. You can be braver than me and do investments in Detroit, definitely available. And so with that being said, be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.